A colorful palette of languages once again resonates throughout the stylish Budapest campus of the Central European University, or CEU. After most CEU teaching operations were forced to move to neighboring Austria following a conflict with Hungary's government over freedom of education, the university looked for new activities. One of its missions became the Invisible University for Ukraine. The name refers mainly to underground university initiatives in Eastern Europe during the 19th and 20th centuries. Amongst others, the CEU's Invisible University targets Ukrainian students whose studies were impacted by the ongoing Russian invasion of their war-torn nation. While most studies are provided online, dozens of students representing 11 Ukrainian universities managed to attend the university's winter lecture series in person. Among them is 18-year-old Natalia Shulyakova, who escaped to Germany from the troubled Ukrainian region of Odessa.
It was very important for me to live through the war, knowing that there is a person who is like-minded and who has the same problems and who has the same aspirations to help Ukraine somehow, and who thinks about the same things as I do, about helping Ukraine in any ways and about restoring Ukraine after the war ends, and even about things that we can do now. How can we help it right now and after the war? So what will be the agenda after it? And to come out of this war victorious. Interestingly, I don't really know people who have Russian background in Ukraine, but here at this program, my mentor actually for my research about Odessa, where I come from, is a Russian person, Alexander Korobeynikov. At first, I was not sure whether I can trust him, whether I can discuss the same ideas that are in my mind with him, but later became very clear that he is the person who kind of gives me hope for the Russian society further.
That's music to the ears of historian Balázs Trencseni, one of the program's organizers. He says the Invisible University of Ukraine wants to avoid spreading Western propaganda. Instead, he says it encourages an open dialogue based on free democratic principles between people of all backgrounds. However, Trencseni admits that those agreeing with Russia's invasion of Ukraine aren't welcome.
We wouldn't cooperate with any scholar from Russia who represents a state institution or any student who would not make it clear that they are condemning the war. But we wanted to make a point that those Russians who are actually making it clear that they are against this war are welcome to participate and offer their help and offer their commitment. And it was very, very strong feeling. We really don't want to force, of course, any Ukrainian student to feel, insecure. So, but what we found is that these actual Russian students, colleagues, young colleagues, completely unproblematically had conversations, and it was not a conversation of a Russian and a Ukrainian, it was a conversation of two very reflexive young intellectuals having sometimes similar perspectives, sometimes might have been different perspectives, but it was a completely open-ended conversation with no national hatred.
He adds that it was emotional for him to see that Ukrainian students told him they don't want to hate anyone, and also not be told who to hate. That way of thinking is also encouraged at workshops and an exhibition about the war as part of efforts to seek a successful post-war reconstruction of Ukraine's culture and society. Speakers have included Nobel Peace Prize recipient Alexandra Matvichuk and politicians, writers and other experts. At least some students are already planning to return to war-torn Ukraine despite ongoing fighting there. They include 21-year-old Katerina Osipchuk, who wrote part of her study papers in a bomb shelter while following the university online. She misses her father and wants to go back to Kiev.
My father is in army now, and the war continues now. And now in Kyiv we have air raid alarm, so it's kind of still dangerous and still it's happening every day. Yeah, and for me it was opportunity also to somehow ground myself, to feel the connections with the people and to feel I can do something because I was volunteering. But I felt I need to do something with knowledge. I want to discover more, to make sense more, to work more and continue building these connections between people who learn, research and do stuff like that.
You are going to return to Kyiv, and a lot of people say it's too dangerous, you have to stay outside. Why do you want to go back to Kyiv?
I can't imagine my life without my country and my city. About the aspect of it being dangerous, like we have shelters really developed during this time, so it's fine. Russians are bombing our electricities and our facilities like that and infrastructure, but we have these beautiful schedules when we have electricity, when there are slots, when our like workers repair it each day, also 24 hours per week, per each day per week. And yeah, I want to contribute to my city reconstruction in many sense, because I'm also a historical guide. So for me, it's really the community, the people, the city itself, the historical background of it. It's just at core of my heart, and I cannot imagine it being otherwise. Yeah.
Students like Katerina could also attend lectures by British author and filmmaker Jane Rogojska about her book Surviving Katyn. It's about the Katyn massacre of 22,000 Polish prisoners of war, most of them officers, in occupied Poland. They were killed in April and May 1940 by special forces of Soviet leader Joseph Stalin. For nearly 50 years, the then Soviet Union succeeded in maintaining the fiction that Katyn was an atrocity committed by Nazi Germany. The story remained unchallenged by Western governments, fearful of upsetting a powerful wartime ally and Cold War adversary. Only after the collapse of communism and the Soviet Union in the early 1990s was the truth revealed. Rogojska now hopes it won't take that long to expose Russian war crimes in Ukraine.
For the students, the Ukrainian students, this is still a live issue. It's an experience. It's not finished. It's not history. But in 50 years' time, 80 years' time, it will be a historical event. And so how do we present evidence? How do we write about these things with authenticity? That's one really important question. And Katyn can teach us a lot about that. And the other more tragic reflection is that there are a lot of parallels. Putin, don't forget, was trained in the KGB. And there is a kind of direct lineage in methodology of how they construct false narratives, how they deny things, how they silence witnesses, intimidate people. And the long history of Katyn is a really lengthy example of the lengths to which the NKVD and subsequently the KGB were prepared to go to suppress one narrative and replace it with another narrative.
Ukrainian students are now encouraged to realize that they too are living through historical times. While Hungary has close relations with Russia, organizers hope they can continue hosting the Invisible University of Ukraine in the CEU premises of Budapest. For Worthy News Radio, I am Stefan J. Boss in Budapest.